Excellent singing. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Be seated, please. Hey, if you're working with young people, one of our winners tonight, say amen. Two people, that's good. Okay. All we want to do to win tonight is two things. Number one, sit very, very straight. And then number two, please, no talking. As we mentioned, somewhere in the audience tonight are three adults called secret agents. One's choosing the quietest guy, one's choosing the quietest girl, and one is choosing a third person. When you see the game, it's worth working for, believe me. And by the way, tonight is probably the easiest night to win. It's usually on Monday night we have more kids, and Tuesday night even more, and Wednesday night. So as the crowd grows, there's more people to choose from. So tonight's the easiest night to win. You probably saw the drone flying earlier. And on Wednesday night, excuse me, Thursday night, we're going to give that away to the person or the family that's brought the most visitors. If you brought a visitor tonight or any night this week, you and your visitor get what's called a rocket balloon. Have you guys seen these before? They're awesome. You take this to a mall or a ball game, someplace with a large group of people, and just send it back to them. What happens when you build on set, when there's a crowd, everybody just stops and they watch it. Usually they go up, and then they watch it, and then when it lands, they stop and laugh. I'm not sure why, but they always laugh, okay? If you bring two friends on any particular night, your friends are getting the rocket balloons, and then we're going to give you an exercise program for your cat, okay? A laser pointer, of course, you can have some fun. But best of all, the friends you bring will hear the gospel. That's the best part of all, amen? It really is. Tonight, a very important question in our message, and here's the question, say it with me. Who is Jesus? What is our question? Who is Jesus? We'll address that tonight. Right now, would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? Would you simply ask God, the Holy Spirit, to speak to your heart tonight? A very simple message. Ask God to speak to your heart. If you know somebody's here tonight that's not saved, please pray for them as well. Well, thank you for this good group of people that you brought together tonight. I would pray right now that you'd help us to focus our attention on your word. I would ask, Lord God, that you'd fill me with your power, with your spirit. We pray especially if there's any here tonight they're not yet saved, they would see how much they need you as their Savior. May they get saved tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, what is our question? Say it with me. Who is Jesus? You know the story, Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem. They got to Bethlehem, there was no place in the inn. They found a place in a stable. In that dark, cold, drafty, nasty stable, a baby was born that night, and his name was Jesus. But again, the question, who is Jesus? Some people tell you that Jesus was a really, really good man, and he was. Some people tell you he's the greatest teacher who ever lived, and he was. Some people tell you he was a man who really loved children, and he did. But who is Jesus? The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is God. We know God from the Bible in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and that is Jesus, of course, and then God the Spirit. But many people do not believe that Jesus is God. You kids may be on your bicycle riding through your neighborhood, riding your skateboard, and here come a couple of men, they're down the street, they're on bicycles, they're wearing white shirts, they always have a little gold name tag, and it says Elder, and they're about 22 years old. Elder. Anyway, if you ask them the question, who is Jesus? Is he God? They'll tell you they believe that Jesus was created by God. God created Jesus, he's a created being. You may be out in your yard one day and two ladies come down the street carrying little satchels. They have satchels full of magazines. They say, we're from the Watchtower, Tract and Bible Society. Want to have a Bible study with your family. You say, ladies, do you believe that Jesus is God? They say, we believe that Jesus created God. God created Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God, but he's not God. They call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. I was in a meeting down in Florida, and behind the church was another church. A group had bought that church, painted out the windows so you could not see through the windows. At the top of each window, they painted the name of a prophet, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad. Then down in bigger letters down below, the name of their God, Allah, 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 Allah. You talk with them, they do not believe that Jesus is God. Now here's the question, is Jesus really God? What does the Bible say? In this verse in Hebrews, God the Father is speaking to Jesus. Notice what God the Father calls Jesus as he talks to him. Read the verse with me aloud, together. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Hebrews 1:8. Somebody raise your hand if you know. In this verse, what did God the Father call Jesus the Son? What did he call him? Somebody raise your hand and tell me. What did he call him? He called him God. If God the Father calls Jesus God, who is Jesus? He is God. Number one, the Bible tells us Jesus is the creator of the world. Read these verses with me together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. John 1:10. Who is Jesus? His creator. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ created this universe, created life in six literal 24-hour days. On day number one, He made the earth. He made light. He made darkness. Day number two, He made the atmosphere, made the oceans. Day number three, made the dry land appear, created the plant life. Day number four, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Day number five, the birds and the fish. Day number six, the dry land animals. Every creature that dwells on dry land created in that one single day, day number six. Creation was finished. God looked at everything He made. The Bible says, behold, it was very good. But wait a minute. He saved the very best for last. What was the final thing that God created, the Lord Jesus created, on day number six? And what was it? Yes. He made man. He made a man, and his name was Adam. Made a woman, and her name was Eve. Let me say this, young people. You and I are not the highest of the animals. We're not animals at all. You and I were actually created in the image of God. You are not an animal. You have an eternal soul. Animals do not have that. You are a creature. You're not an animal. You're not the highest of the animals. You're made in the image of God. The Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We could rightly read that in the beginning, Jesus created the heaven and the earth. The Bible says through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We could say the worlds were framed by the Word of Jesus. The Bible tells us the heavens declare the glory of God. We could rightly read that the heavens declare the glory of Jesus. He is the Creator. Every beautiful place you've ever been, every fantastic sight you've ever seen was designed and created by the Lord Jesus. Then you go to the animal kingdom and see some beautiful, beautiful things. Then you go underwater and see some really strange things sometimes, some beautiful things, some incredible things. All of them designed and created by the Lord Jesus. But you know the most spectacular part of His creation is you. What is your name, sir? Micah? You have a good Bible name, don't you? Have you read the book of Micah? You read it already? Good. Okay, it's a good, interesting book. Okay. Micah. This young man right here, Micah, is more important to God than all the animals in the entire world put together. All the spotted owls and all those are not as important to God as Micah is. Micah, how old are you, sir? 5 years old. It's fun being five, isn't it? Really, I used to be five. It was fun, it really was. And I'm saying the most spectacular thing is you, because you and I were made in the image of God. We are created. Number one, the Lord Jesus is the creator of the world. Secondly, the Bible tells us He is the Savior of the world. Read the verse with me, please. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 John 4:14. You see, Mr. Red, why do we need a Savior? Let's go back to the garden. The Bible tells us God who created a man, his name was Adam, created a woman, her name was Eve. He placed them in the middle of a beautiful garden called the Garden of Eden. God said, Adam, this garden is for you. Eve, this garden is for you. You could go anywhere you want to, have anything you want to, but there's one thing you do not do. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you will die. Did Adam hear God? Yes. Did Eve hear God? Yes. And apparently for a period of time they obeyed God. The Bible tells us that every evening God would come down to the Garden of Eden. He would actually walk and talk with Adam and Eve. They could see Him. They could hear Him. They could be with Him. Wouldn't that be awesome? The Bible tells us one day that a servant came to talk with Eve. Apparently Adam was in another part of the garden working by himself, and Eve was by herself, and a snake came up to talk to her. Now, ladies, if a snake comes to talk to you, what should you do? Scream, run, and kill. I heard three answers there, okay? Do them in order there. Eve did not know that. She also did not know that this was God's enemy, the devil, speaking through the snake. And the snake said, hey, Eve. And Eve looks, and she talks back. Yes, what do you want? Hey, Eve, did God really tell you not to eat from that tree? And Eve turned to look, and she realized that she's standing right beside the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And again, she answered back. She said, yes, God told us not to eat or even touch it, or we'll die. Hey, Eve, God's lying to you. Now, if somebody tells you God's lying, you know who's lying, don't you? And it's never God. Hebrews chapter 6 tells us our God is so holy, so perfect, it is impossible for Him to lie. Satan was lying. Hey, Eve, if you eat from the tree, it'll help you. You'll be just as wise as God. The Bible says that Eve turned and looked at that tree. When she saw how good the fruit looked, she did something she never should have done. She picked one, and then she took a bite. She had disobeyed God. She had sinned. Adam came to the part of the garden. He saw his wife. He said, Eve, what have you done? Eve said, Adam, I don't think it's going to hurt us. And she gave the fruit to her husband. That day, Adam also disobeyed God and sinned. The Bible says they sewed fig leaves together to cover the fact that they were now guilty. Then they heard the voice of God. Adam, where art thou? Eve, God's coming. We've got to hide. And believe it or not, actually, Adam and Eve got down and tried to crawl into the bushes and tried to hide from God. Can we hide from God? David told us in Psalm 139, there's not a place on this planet you can go where God doesn't see every moment. He sees everything we do. He hears every word we speak. He actually can read our thoughts. I can't hide a thing from God. You can't hide a thing from God. And neither could they. God was coming closer and closer. And finally, Adam and Eve came out and they stood before God. The Bible tells us that day, God killed an animal, made a covering of skin for Eve. God killed an animal, made a covering of skin for Adam. But they were driven from the garden forever because they were now guilty. The sad thing is, every person who had ever been born since Adam and Eve was also born guilty, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is God. When your grandparents are born, they're all born guilty. And you and I were born, we were born guilty, separated from God. And that's why we need a Savior, because we're born guilty. That's why Jesus went to Calvary, bearing the cross, laying on that cross and letting men drive spikes through His hands, through His feet. Jesus died on the cross that day, bearing our sins upon Himself. He not only died for our sins, He actually died in our sins, suffering the wrath of God as it poured upon Him. You know what happened? He was buried for 3 days and 3 nights in a borrowed tomb. When the third day and the third night passed, early on a Sunday morning, some ladies come down to the tomb hoping to get spices in for His burial. One of them stopped and said, "We can't do this. We can't do this. We can't move that stone. We can't open the tomb. How could we get inside to put spices in?" They got close. They saw an angel dressed in white. "Ladies, what are you doing here?" They're scared to death. We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Remember the angel's answer? "He is not here, for He is risen, as He said." The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the Creator of the world, is also your Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior. He's the only Savior of the world. Read the verse with me. "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. Jesus Christ is not the best way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. Read another verse. "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4:12. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator of the world. Secondly, He is the Savior of the world. And then one day, very, very soon, He will be the Judge of this world. Read the verses with me. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." John 5:22. Another verse. "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Romans 14:10. In Revelation chapter 20, God describes the last judgment. Tells what's going to happen on that day. Read another verse, if you would. "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Matthew 12:36. As I mentioned, one day soon, the Lord Jesus Christ will be seated on a powerful white throne. We call it the Great White Throne Judgment, described in Revelation chapter 20. On that day, every person who's ever walked on this planet will stand before the Lord Jesus. I'll be there. You'll be there. Julius Caesar will be there. Barack Obama will be there. George Washington. Everybody through all history will be there. And on Judgment Day, the Bible tells us that they'll look in a book called the Book of Life. If you've been saved, been forgiven, your name is recorded in the Book of Life. If you've never been saved, no matter how good or how bad you are, if you've never been saved, your future is horrible on that day. Revelation chapter 20 tells us, well, what happens? Read it with me, if you would, together. "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Revelation 20:12. And then verse 15 is the saddest verse in our entire Bible. It tells what happens when those people who are not saved stand before God. Read the verse with me. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the Bible, Revelation 20:15. So the Bible tells us that we stand before God on Judgment Day. If our name is in the book of life, we have eternal life. We'll be with God forever, won't we? But on Judgment Day, if you've not been saved, your name is not in the book of life, you'll be sent to a place that's worse than hell, a place simply called the lake of fire. And on Judgment Day, when a lost person is sent to the lake of fire, how long will they be there? Forever and forever and forever. That's why it's so very, very important now to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have your sins forgiven. Have your name in the book of life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator of the world. Secondly, He is the Savior of the world. And one day soon, He is the Judge of the world. You say, Mr. Ed, I've been going to church and I know some of these things, but I've never been saved. I don't think my name is the book of life. What do I do? Let me show you from the Bible what a person needs to know and believe to be saved by the Lord Jesus. Three things. Here's number one. Say it with me. I am a sinner. Again, I am a sinner. Romans 3:23 is a verse you probably know. Say it with me, please. Together. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Now, what is the second word in the verse? And who would that include? Does that include me? Does that include the preacher? Does that include the preacher's wife? Does that include you? You might be the best person in this whole church. You might be the best person in the whole state of North Carolina. But no matter how good you are, how good you think you are, how good you're trying to be, you and I are sinners. We need a Savior. I was in West Virginia a couple of years ago. The pastor's wife at the church was talking with an 11-year-old girl. I think she was in fifth grade. She looked at the pastor's wife. She said, I'm not a sinner. I don't watch bad movies. And I'm nice to my friends. I am not a sinner. Was she right or wrong? We're all sinners. That's why we need a Savior. Number two is the gospel. Say it with me. Jesus died for my sins. There's only one perfect person, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is God. He willingly went to Calvary, took our place on the cross, and died in our place, shedding His blood to pay for our sins. What happened 3 days and three nights later? He arose from the grave. He's alive tonight. I love the verse Romans 5:8. Say it with me, if you would, together. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. So again, number two, Jesus died for my sins. Then number three, and this is so important, say it with me. I must receive Jesus as my Savior. Again, I must receive Jesus as my Savior. Our Bible teaches again and again that salvation is a free gift. Salvation, having our sins forgiven, having eternal life, living with God forever, that's called salvation. Now, so many people in America have been taught that salvation is a reward that we earn by being good. Does the Bible teach that? Not at all. A couple of years ago, I was down in Florida doing a meeting in a church like this. And so one night, just before church, the assistant pastor and I went to a restaurant. As we were walking in, an older couple came walking out. Pastor Ken took a gospel tract out of his pocket and said, folks, can I give you this? It'll show you how to get to heaven. The lady's response, sir, we're already working on that. So many people are taught that salvation is something we earn by being good. Right now, almost all our young people are sitting up for a straight, a quiet, hoping to win the minute to win the game. Here's one of the prizes here. I guess it's a half liter of Dr. Pepper. Health drink, amen? Full of vitamins, minerals, all those good things for a healthy body, amen? I mean, a name like doctor, it's got to be medicinal, amen? Not really, but seriously, it tastes pretty good going down, doesn't it? Now, here's the question. Is this a gift? Yes or no? You're sitting real straight. Real quiet. Hoping they're watching how good you're being. You're trying to earn these. Trying to work for this and trying to earn it. So if you're earning it, it would not be called a gift. What would we call it? Starts with letter R. A reward. A prize for being good. In fact, there are no gifts on the table there at all. There's a bunch of rewards, a bunch of prizes. You guys are earning. You're working for those. They're not gifts. They're called rewards. Now, salvation. Having our sins forgiven. Having eternal life. Living with God forever. Is that a gift or a reward? Gift. So many people believe that salvation is a reward. The religions of the world teach that. But what does the Bible say? Read the verse with me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Look at the verse carefully, if you would. Raise your hand if you know. In this verse, what is it that you and I deserve because of our sin? What does the verse say? Yes, sir. We deserve death. Now look at the verse again. What is it that God wants to give us that we don't deserve? Yes, ma'am. Eternal life. Isn't that awesome? You and I deserve death because of our sin. And the God who made us, the God who loves us, says, no, I don't want to give you death. I want to give you a gift you don't deserve. And in His grace to us, He sent Jesus to die on the cross. He now offers us salvation, eternal life as a gift when we deserve death. That's an awesome God, isn't it? Read the whole verse again. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. So again, if you're here tonight, you've never received Jesus. Very simply, here's how to do that. Number one, tell God you're sorry for your sin. The Bible says repent. Ask God to turn you from your sin. Ask for His forgiveness. Number two, believe that Jesus loved you, that He died on the cross, that He shed His blood to pay for your sins, that He rose from the grave the third day. And if you believe that, say amen. He did that for us. Number three, by faith, just ask Him to be your Savior. The promise is there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what a promise that is. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator of the world. Secondly, He is the Savior of the world. And one day, very, very soon, He is the Judge of this world. And one more thing, and I like this. He also is King of kings and Lord of lords. Read the verses with me. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:9-11. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes and listen very closely?